The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hi, everybody. Coming up, Nicole tells your fortune. Looking ahead.
If only.
So get out your crystal and stay tuned with Mistress Nicole. All dressed in leather, you won't forget her. You want to love her and you won't let go. Who's that woman, crazy woman, Nicole?
Bomb, bomb, bomb. 'Twas on the eighth day, God looked down on his pine paradise. He said, now I need a man whose heart is cold as ice, to test the people's will and goodness when exposed to vice. To be a dictator is his aim. He'll be a man who's failed at everything but scams and theft. In a golden palace he'll reside, of taste and class bereft. He'll convince the poor he serves their needs until they've nothing left. You'll know him by his name. Glory, glory, hallelujah. God is gonna stick it to ya. But you don't realize it, do ya? As your mega marches on and on and on and on. Da 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 da. Said he'll be a wicked man to lead with hate and fear, a man corrupt above the law, immune to justice fear, a man demanding violence and then standing in the rear. And Trump shall be his name. He'll sow confusion across the globe and lie with every word. Say evil's good and black is white till all the lines are blurred. Calling those who act up crimes for him the hostages interred. And Trump shall be his name. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Recognize what's coming to ya. 'Cause Trump will never cease to spew the deception he feeds on.
God said his party will obey and never stop to think. Their throats are parched with thirst, but still they will refuse to drink. The press will be afraid to stir his wrath or raise a stink. And Trump shall be his name. His power and position he will yield with reckless glee, to punish all who stand against him or just disagree, to punish them and harm them to the most extreme degree. And Trump shall be his name.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Know that God's about to choose the future path and do it through. So don't fall for the con.
He'll be a man who breaks the faith of his most godly fans and leads them to idolatry is one of his demands. He'll put himself above your God to wringing of the hands. And Trump shall be his name. 'Twas on the eighth that God looked down upon that foolish clown. God said, I sent this man to test you, you must cast him down, or he'll take away the truth from you and give himself a crown, and you'll trot upon my name.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. God's test should now be clearer to ya. Choose the path that won't undo. Let the truth go marching on and on and on.
Woo-hoo! Oh, yeah. The Parody Project there. Don Caron and company riffing on that Liberty Project thing based on the Trump ad that he tweeted out or truthed out, sorry. spewed out, you know, God. Going back to that Paul Harvey commercial, by the way, nothing is original anymore. But wow, how brilliant was that? That was pretty good. For those of you who are new here today, welcome. And yes, I do like to start off the show with some kind of a song parrot. And I got to tell you, people were creative this weekend. I think I have the whole week taken care of. And if things get slow today, well, you never know. Anyway, welcome to a Monday. It's a brand new week. But we're starting on the right foot, because when we last met on Friday, let's see, the jury in New York City had just awarded the former guy an $83.3 million damages. It's not a settlement. Damages from his assault on and defamation of E. Jean Carroll. Yeah, it was pretty awesome. I took notes. Punitive, acted with malice. It was $7.3 million for, I guess, just defaming her. Another $11 million to help repair her tarnished reputation. I could do a lot with $11 million. To repair my tarnished reputation. And then $65 million in punitive damages. In other words, don't do it again, Donnie boy. And you know what? It must have worked. Because Donald Trump, to the best of my knowledge, now I don't monitor him 24/7. I value my own mental health too much for that. But he hasn't mentioned her name. No, the orange one. I was going to say tweet it again or shit it out some on Truth Social, some rants, some of his raving madness, but he didn't say her name. And he didn't say the person, he didn't allude to her by saying she's lying. He just said, this is not America anymore. You know what I say to that?
Bullshit.
It's absolutely America. This is the land of the lawsuits. There was a great song by George Harrison many years ago, the Sue You, Sue Me Blues. And I can't play it because I'd get copyright violated. But hey, this is America. This is what we stand for. And Donald Trump knows it better than anybody else. So it sucks to be given a taste of your own medicine, doesn't it, Donnie boy? Oh, well, shut up. You know what the jury said to Donald Trump with this $83.3 million fine, money that he must pay to E. Jean Carroll. And if he wants to appeal the case, the way New York state law works is he's got to put that money in escrow to prove that he has it and can pay it before he can appeal the judgment, which I just love. So the first time after the first E. Jean Carroll defamation suit, where the jury awarded her $5 million and Trump's like, I'm going to appeal it, he had to put $5 million in escrow. And sure enough, if he wants to appeal this $83.3 million judgment, he's got to put that money in escrow. And I don't know about you, but I don't think he has $83 million, because everything about him is bullshit, is what?
Bullshit.
It's bullshit, exactly. So, you know what the jury was saying to him by levying a $83 million judgment against him? They didn't sing it, but this is what they were saying.
I just need you to shut the fuck up, because nobody asked you, bitch. I need you to shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Just shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow.
Bam, bam. I just glanced over to the chat room, by the way, while that little song was playing, because I multitask, don't you know? And Denzel said, I'm trying to get Nicole to go live on Facebook so I can share over there as well. I'm on Facebook. We stream live. I got two channels on Facebook. One is The Nicole Sandler Show that you can share because that's open to the public. My personal Facebook page is now private, so only friends can see it, because frankly, too many trolls started attacking me after after October 7th because I dared to voice my opinion and say that Israel has a right to exist, has a right to defend themselves. Hamas needs to go, and they need to release the remaining hostages. And because the trolls, many who fancy themselves progressives, started calling me things like, a genocidal maniac and stuff. So I made my Facebook page private. But yes, we stream on Facebook every day. So The Nicole Sandler Show on Facebook. You can share away, Denzel. I always think it's like a given. I think that everybody knows this stuff. Like everybody knows that the show is listener supported. And it is. So no paywall. Share as you please. We stream video to YouTube, to Facebook, to Shitter, and to Twitch. Not that anybody watches on Twitch, but it's there. And then the whole thing is posted on my website at NicoleSandler.com. The podcast and the audio podcast, now we moved to Spotify, and it now has a transcription service. So each episode is transcribed if you go to either Spotify or Apple Podcasts to listen. All this stuff, and for a great low price of nothing. Although I hope you'll, reach in your pocket and help support the work we do here. So Heidi O'Mara says, I agree, Nicole. I think he'll declare bankruptcy, talking about Trump again, not having $83 million to put into escrow. Well, neither do I. So if you're going to reach in your pocket to help someone, bring it on over. Okay, so down to business. Today, I'm really excited about today's guest. So if you've listened to this show for a few years, you've heard Jonathan Larson before. But forget about this show. You know Jonathan Larson. And as I said in the description of today's show, I've been a fan of his since before I knew his name, since before I knew who he was. Because Jonathan Larson, like me, spent a lot of his career behind the scenes, guiding shows as a producer, as an executive producer, the ones who really make things work. Like my producer here on the show, I couldn't do it without her. Even though I bitch at her all the time because, frankly, sometimes she's a bit spacey and disorganized and cranky. But hey, she's the one who makes this whole thing happen, don't you know? Anyway, Jonathan Larson, I didn't know him at the time, but he worked at Air America. I think he might have been there before I was, because I was only at Air America for the its final year. Right, I hosted a late night show from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern, and much of the drama had already happened, and it was sort of just fighting for survival. But Jonathan Larson was there during its heyday, and he was executive producer of the best show, one of the best radio shows, one of the best morning radio shows I ever listened to, and that was Morning Sedition with Marc Maron. And he helped helm and executive produce the Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio before, she was poached by MSNBC. And let's see, what else? So he was at CNN. He helped create and launch Anderson Cooper 360. Not that I really watched that, but I remember Anderson Cooper. Oh my God, there's a show on ABC, and if you're awake at 3 or 4 in the morning, chances are you've seen it. It's called News Now, or ABC, God, I want to say News Now, but I don't think that's what it is. Back in the day, and I'm talking now 90s, early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, when I was producing morning radio, and I'd wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'd turn on ABC News, and they had a very irreverent news show on, World News This Morning, or something like that. And they had a revolving cast, like nobody stayed there very long, but Anderson Cooper is where I first learned of him. And they would, it was like, well, no, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Nobody's watching. We can do and say whatever we want. And it was funny and it was irreverent and it was a news show, and it was on ABC. Well, they still have some semblance of this World News This Morning, or whatever it's called. I got to find out the name of it. And they have a man and a woman co-hosting, and they try to be irreverent, but you could tell it's forced. It's manufactured. It's not like it was 30, 40 years ago. But that's something that Jonathan Larson is doing now. So he did this a few years ago. He launched this daily newsletter called The Fucking News. And yes, that's what it's called, The Fucking News. The logo is just, it's perfect. It's this, you know what, I don't have it here. Let me see if I can find it as a standalone, because bear with me, I'll find it. In my producer, you know, she multitasks. Anyway, the we're media files. Sorry, I got to, you know, I got to talk and chew gum at the same time. So what was I saying? This is the problem with being my own producer. Yeah, so so Jonathan had this thing going a few years ago. Here it is. I can just superimpose it over me, can I? Can I? There we go. He launched this thing a few years ago, and I loved it because it was an irreverent look at the news of the day. There it is. Okay. Only took me a few tries. It's the fucking news, and the U is replaced by, it's sort of like a, I'm talking to the people now who are listening to one of the audio streams and not seeing video. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words. So it's the fucking news, but the U is replaced by the icon for the power. I think it's the power symbol on your computer, except it's been changed a little bit. It's been altered so that it looks like a hand giving the finger. So it's the fucking news. I think it's brilliant because then, you know me, I've got a potty mouth, and I don't shy away from language. I believe sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. So yeah, the U is replaced by a lovely bird. That's right. See, you guys get it in the chat room. So anyway, he launched this again, and because this, what happened was when he had it going the first time, and I think he was just in between gigs, and then he took a job as like managing editor of the Young Turks or something like that. And I'm not much of a Young Turks fan, so I didn't see his work during that time, but I get an email from him last week saying the fucking news is back. I'm like, yes. Because again, let me tell you, so it is with done with a sense of humor. And I mentioned Morning Sedition with Mark Maron that he was the executive producer of. One of the best morning radio shows ever. And I produced two Radio Hall of Fame morning shows in Jim Kerr at WPLJ and Mark and Brian at KLOS. And Mark Maron's Morning Sedition was that good. It was so good. And I was devastated when Air America pulled it off the air. And actually, that was before I even went to Air America. I know. Memories like the... Sorry, I break into song every once in a while. It's just like, you know, it's like a musical here. Or not. Not really. Anyway. It didn't last long. He did the fucking news, and then one day he's like, well, I'm going to the Young Turk, so we're killing the fucking news. Like, well, shit, that sucks. Well, now he's off of the Young Turks and he's back. So, thefuckingnews.substack.com is where you can sign up. There's a free version. There's also a paid version. And like so many of us in this new gig economy, this is Jonathan's work. So listen to him, subscribe. You can start with the free version, which is what I get because it's what I can afford. And you'll get a lot of news. So today there are two, count them two. There were two emails today. One of them is his regular news roundup. And let me share some of that with you. So the lead story there, frankly, is something that I hadn't heard about. Then again, I've really tuned out much of the mainstream corporate news these days. I just, you know, I get where the name The Fucking News comes from because goddamn the fucking news. It, you know, you can't help it. So at least he does it with a sense of humor. So some of his reporting, his stories for today, January 29th, 2024, trucker convoy launches today. Did you know there was another trucker convoy happening? I didn't until I read this. Army of God trucker convoy converges on border to do something, he writes. We don't know what. In fact, he writes, a convoy calling themselves God's Army plans to head to the Texas border to stop migrants from entering the U.S. I'll read you a little more so you get an idea of the flavor. But remember all those post-January 6th trucker convoys that turned into nothing but vast highway clogging parking lots despite all the hype? Well, let's take a closer look at today's convoy, shall we? Their staging area isn't Omaha Beach, it's Virginia Beach. The trucker convoy isn't making a beeline for the allegedly embattled border despite its alleged embattledness. First, they're trucking for Jacksonville, Florida, much like Washington's Continental Army didn't before crossing the Delaware. Then they're gonna keep on trucking to other destinations on the way to the border. And it's individual participants claiming Jesus handed them a map and the keys to the 18-wheelers. In reality, they're crowdfunding online and had raised only $50,000 by Friday. But he continues, the convoy could be heading for a standoff with the same federal border agency already at odds with the Texas National Guard troops over accessing a state park used to reach the Rio Grande, except the trucker rallies are all being held on private property. The Texas site is 30 miles from the Texas federal standoff, and the convoy is more likely to be dangling truck nuts than hauling long-range artillery. That deserves a ding, just because. When explicitly asked about the Texas standoff, organizer Scotty Sachs told Vice that, quote, we're not really focused on that. Of course not. And Sachs said that the organizers themselves will crack down on anyone who gets violent. Quote, we realize we may have infiltrators. There may be some people who try to subvert us, who jump in on the convoy. Provocateurs. We may have some, and they're going to have to deal with our security team. They'll be asked to leave. Sure. And I've got some beachfront property not far from where I'm living in Arizona these days to sell you if you're buying that. And then he writes, Jonathan writes, here's my favorite part. The last of the three subhead bullet points from Business Insider. The first one is a convoy is headed to the southern border to stop migrants from entering the United States. Second one, the group's leader described their tactics as, quote, domestic internal defense. Whatever that means. And the third one is, wait, I got to give you this because, you know, the third one. It's not clear what the group plans to do once they reach the border. I love it. The convoy is convoying because right-wing media have freaked out their audiences to believe the U.S. is being invaded by a hostile swarm of landscapers and day laborers, I guess, which means it's now it's our job to resist the sweet, righteous siren call of our own media and not freak out. Godspeed, non-freaking news fuckers. And that's what this is about. The fucking news, because you need to look at it with that kind of an attitude, because so much of it is just
bullshit.
It's just what?
Bullshit.
Right. And it's being delivered by who?
Asshole.
Who?
Asshole.
Ah. Thank you, Keith. We're not assholes, but you know, the few people at Fox.
Asshole.
Yeah, like that. So anyway, all that's coming up. Let me tell you, there is some other news going on today. You know, I let me take a break for a second. Not a break. I'm not going to play a commercial. I don't do that. But You may notice that today I'm in my summer finery. Yes, the shoulders are bare once again. And I know what you're thinking. No, I'm not back in Florida. Arizona, even though it's winter and it gets damn cold here, we're having a heat wave. Heat wave. So I pulled up my phone, looked at the weather thing, and it's 77 degrees today. I kid you not. 77 degrees. And it was yesterday, it got up above 78. I was out wearing like a sweater dress and tights and boots and a sweater on top of it. And I was schwitzing. I was hot. I'm like, oh my God, we're not in cold winter anymore. So last night we even opened windows. Open windows. Who ever heard of that? In Florida, you don't open windows because then the humidity comes in. My hair would be out to here. Anyway, so the weather's beautiful this week. You know what? Even when it's cold early in the morning, it's not that cold. It's just, it's not. It's and I guess it's the difference between the dry heat of Arizona and the wall of humidity in Florida, which makes the heat more oppressive and makes the cold more bone chilling. Because in Florida, when it gets like 60 degrees, it is freezing there. I mean, freezing. Here, it's 60 degrees, I take the sweatshirt off. So go figure. 77 in Tucson today. I hope it holds up because, frankly, my kid is coming to visit next week. So, again, this is a programming note. We will be running some best of shows starting next Wednesday for a week because Allison's coming. Well, I'll be here Wednesday because she gets in late at night. So we'll be here all this week, next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'll tell you, though, so I'll be taking off Thursday and Friday of next week and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of the following week. So let's start with Thursday and Friday first because Howie Klein won't be here. I'll come up with something fun. Maybe, you know, Melanie died. Lay down, lay it all down. I refused to sing Brand New Key because it was a shitty song. But Lay Down was a great song, Candles in the Rain. Anyway, I got to interview her a couple of years ago, and it was a wonderful conversation. So I promised when I heard the news that she had died, we'll pull that one out and play that on Thursday, maybe next week. We're here this week, next week. And then Friday, I know, we finally get like in a groove with Marcy Wheeler every Friday, and I'm taking a day off. But here's what I thought I'd do. Marcy Wheeler, I have known for, I don't know how long I've been doing this show. Since the Air America days, I think. So that's going back, what? Air America went off the air in 2010. We're now in 2024. So what, 14 years? Even with my shitty math, I kind of got that one figured out. So Marcy Wheeler, I've been having on this show for all that time. And so what I thought I'd do, since I can't be here for a live show a week from Friday. Again, I'm giving you plenty of notice here. I thought I'd pull out one of those really early appearances. Maybe, I don't know if I have any from Air America, but certainly from the months and years since. So maybe we'll do that. I'm just giving you a heads up that, you know, my kid's coming to town. We left Florida at the end of September. And I really miss her. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do. So I'm going to take a few days off. All right. With all that, I see our guest is here. And now that I've already given him a huge intro, you know who we're talking about. I don't have any kind of like produced intro, but I'll have to work on that because Jonathan Larson deserves some kind of a big intro. Now let's make sure we have audio. Are you there?
Wouldn't it be mean if I just sat here and pretended that you didn't have audio?
Yeah, because, you know, we have gremlins in this studio. The gremlins followed me from Florida to Arizona, and they just come out when they feel like fucking with me.
I can't believe I missed the big intro. And my contract, by the way, explicitly says I get a pre-produced intro. So I hope we can work this out.
Okay, we'll have to work that out. You know, I got to tell you, though, the person who for years has been doing my intros is Boca Brittany Summers. Britt used to work on the Neil Rogers Show in Miami, and anyone who's from the South Florida area knows Neil Rogers. He was radio god back in the whenever, in years gone by. And Britt does amazing work, but she's dealing with, you know, the ugly C word and the cancer one, not the other one. And so she can't. But to give you an idea of the kind of intro she did, I think the most popular one she did is the one that we still use for Howie Klein. It goes with our sort of theme here of being irreverent, but this is the theme, the open for Howie Klein's weekly shot on the show.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary
sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTierney.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
So, you know, that's the kind of work that Boca was doing for us. And maybe I can, you know, help her get her creative juices flowing again to whip something out for Jonathan Larson. But we'll work on that.
I hope there's a prize out there for anyone who can work a Glass-Steagall reference in like that.
Right, right. It's irreverent, it's funny, and it's topical, and it's smart. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I love the fucking news. Now, what I said, Jonathan Larson, is that I was a fan of yours before I even knew who you were, before I knew that you were a person, because I was a fan of your work.
Thank you.
You worked on... We didn't work at Air America at the same time, but...
Right, I was there first.
Right, you were there first. I was there. I helped bring it down. I was part of the end. I was like, the last... I get the call. It's like, oh, shit, we're done? Okay, well, what about the $4,000 you owe me? Oh, well, it's out there somewhere. Yeah. It's in bankruptcy land. Anyway,
I think it was probably entered as evidence in court.
I think it was. There is the paperwork that they had an outstanding invoice from me for $4,000 because I was lazy about invoicing them. If I had just kept up and done it like every week, maybe I wouldn't have been out some anyway. But so Mark Maron. Now, Mark Maron's Morning Sedition was one of the best morning radio shows ever.
Oh, thank you.
Right? And, you know, you look at him now and it's like, wow, that was such a wonderful memory. Now, you were the executive producer of that show?
Yeah, that's right.
And do you still talk to Mark? Is that a thing?
You know, I think it's been a while. There were moments for sure, but I don't think there's any lingering bad blood or anything. I think, you know, we've dropped an occasional friendly email here or there, but he doesn't
blame you for it, Zen, does he? I mean, look,
I got booted before the show did.
Right. So I didn't think.
In fact, I was kind of a victim of my own success. I was doing both the Mark show, Morning Sedition, and a little spunky little startup called the Rachel Maddow Show.
Right.
And both of those were doing pretty okay. And so they kind of looked around and said, well, this guy helped these two shows.
We don't need you anymore.
So they don't need him anymore.
So you went from there, to MSNBC?
Yeah.
Okay. So that, and you worked on a little show called Countdown with Keith Olbermann.
Eventually, in between, I worked on an even littler show called Weekends with Maury and Connie.
With Maury and Connie? Oh, my God. I didn't even know that was on MSNBC. Right. Yep. Maury Povich and Connie Chung.
I had known Connie from CNN when I had worked for her there. And the executive producer of that show, Weekends with Maureen Connie, was Liz Winstead, who I didn't know from The Daily Show, where I also was, but we had people in common, and I knew her from Air America. She ended up hiring me to help at Weekends with Maureen Connie.
Wow, it's such an incestuous little business, isn't it? It's like, it seems like we've all worked together or parallel to one another. I forgot about The Daily Show. So what do you think about Jon Stewart going back?
I have thoughts. I don't know how long you want me on today, but I definitely have thoughts. I think it's, I think my own views about comedy have kind of changed. I'm a little bit wary of comedy's potential to divide. And I'm concerned that comedy has sort of become focused on personal ridicule rather than on being a unifying force in sort of illuminating common foibles in a way that kind of gets us to all step back a little bit, drop our tribalism a little bit, and make room for other people's faults. And don't get me wrong, at this point in our nation's history, I would absolutely agree that some people's faults are considerably more problematic than other people's faults.
And but some are funnier. Like,
sorry?
And some are funnier.
And some are funnier. But I'm concerned that there's a danger in ridiculing those people, because I do feel like some of those people can be reeled back in.
Uh-huh.
Right. I mean, we've seen this in some of the January 6th trials. We've seen people who have had life just smack them in the face with the consequences and gone up there before judges crying, saying, I don't know what the hell happened to me, but I screwed up big time and I'm so sorry. And we can't put them all on trial. They haven't all committed crimes, but we need them back. Right. We need them back to save the country from them, to save them from the mind worm that's gotten in there, and to save the social fabric. So my concern is that comedy has become too weaponized, and I would love to see him change that.
Yeah, but let me ask you, but Jon Stewart, out of all the comedians, seemed to take, I thought, a more cautious approach. You know, he tried to do that stupid rally with Stephen Colbert in DC, with everyone, let's all come together. And, right. You know, he's, I think, extended a hand to the other side more than any other comedian, for sure.
I think that's fair.
Right. And so I think if anyone is poised to say, hey, can't we all get along? It would be Jon Stewart. What I think is ridiculous are the people that have floated him. He should run for president. No, he shouldn't. Right? Let him do The Daily Show again. You know, one night a week, he's pulling a Rachel. I don't know if he's getting Rachel kind of money, but, you know, he's now MSNBC.
He's going to be okay, Nicole.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
He's going to be okay.
I think so. Yeah, he can share a little bit with me, actually. But, and you, you know, he could support the fucking news. Yeah. God damn it. Right?
He could be a subscriber, sure.
There you go, paid subscriber.
Paid subscriber.
So let's get to the fucking news. So this is a thing that you created some years ago, and I mentioned you started it, and then you stopped it again, I guess, because the Young Turks called. But now you're doing it in earnest. This is going to be your thing for at least a while.
I got laid off by TYT, and I sort of felt like the last time I had done the fucking news, I did it to sort of as a proof of concept thing to myself. I actually wanted to see whether there was enough substantive, serious, real news that could sustain a comedic, or at least hopefully entertaining, approach every day. Mm-hmm. And that, so I kind of said, okay, walk the walk and produce TFN, as we call it in family friendly circles, produce TFN every day. And that's what I did. And people really seemed to like it. The economy of newsletters didn't exist yet at the time. So there really wasn't a way for me to make a living off of that or have that be sustainable. And so in the interim, of course, and yeah, I had to drop it when I got hired as managing editor at TYT, but also at TYT, I started something there, a weekday morning newsletter called The progress report, which I don't know if I'm allowed to give out the precise numbers, but no, I mean legally.
Oh,
I don't know if I'm allowed to give out the stats.
You can do anything you want here.
Right. You're fine with it. Who cares if I get sued?
That's
right. It's good stuff. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But you know, people really seem to like it. Our metrics, like our open rate, like how often people open the thing in the morning, were really high compared to industry norms out there. So having Substack exist as a financial economic platform to try to make this work, knowing that there was a, you know, a really high satisfaction rate among readers when I did something similar at TYT. And frankly, people just really like the
it's a great logo. It's just an awesome logo. Now, did you hire someone to make that? Did you come up with the concept, or how did this logo come?
I came up with the concept. And then, if I remember correctly, it was primarily my wife taking the power symbol for a computer or an electric device and then just tweaking it in Photoshop. I don't think anyone else did it other than my wife, and she and I sort of bounced the concept around and, you know,
it's perfect. I did talk about that in the intro this morning.
I can't believe I missed it. I thought 5:30.
Here's the thing. No, the show starts at 5. And the thing is, I'm not behind a paywall. And so you can go back and watch it. You can anytime. It's on Facebook. It's on YouTube. It's on Twitch. It's on Shitter. It's no longer Twitter. It's Shitter because XI is she. So the pronunciation must be Shitter. So that's what I call it now. It sort of takes the sting away from going on to that site.
I know. I think I kind of like, not even out of protest, but just out of old manitude, I just like never really started calling it X. I'm like,
No, it's Shitter. It's on. You're on the Shitter. You shit out something. You don't tweet it anymore because it's fitting for the platform. So it just sometimes things just work.
Or if someone else shits it out, then you can reshit it.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. And some things deserve to be reshitted or shat. Well,
yeah, exactly. Reshat. Or you can even quote shit it if you have something to say.
You can.
Or shit.
There you go. And sometimes, you know, you get diarrhea of the thing. It's a lot of shit. Anyway,
I'll never think of
right
a thread the same way again.
Now, you know, one of the things I love about your approach to the news is it's real news. I shared your story about the convoy today. I didn't even know that there was another convoy, but I guess I should say convoy such as it is because it, you know, they're going to Florida first. They didn't get much money. Yeah. They have no really plans for what they do when they get there. It's typical. But again, this is a story I would have missed if I hadn't read the fucking news this morning. And then you're doing a whole series on something that we need to get to because it's happening this week. The National Prayer Breakfast. By the way, this is 2024. And that's still a thing. And not only is the National Prayer Breakfast still a thing, but there's legislation in the pipeline to move it to the Capitol Rotunda. Did I read that correctly?
Yep. That was actually the first original reporting we did at the new fucking news Substack, which is one of my pitches, like, you know, help me keep doing the reporting I've been doing.
Right.
That was last week. There was a bill introduced by the Democrat and Republican who are the honorary co-chairs of Thursday's National Prayer Breakfast, and if it's passed, which I don't think there's, to use a phrase, a hope in heaven that it will pass, but it's out there, and there's a Republican and a Democrat who want to do this, and it seems to me like that's something people should be aware of.
Wow. Now, this is a subject that you've covered for years. This is one of those issues for you. Now, I've talked about it. Jeff Charlotte has been on this program many, many, many times over the years, famously written about the family. He did amazing work, and you're coming at it from, like, here we are today, and this is still happening. And now, you know, so because of your reporting today, you have a whole separate issue of the fucking news dealing with the National Prayer Breakfast. And the headline of it is LGBTQ plus foe joins prayer breakfast board. And, you know, my God, you took me down a rap. First of all, this guy is a former congressman and his last name is Roe. Yeah, R-O-E? Yeah. What? Are you kidding me? So they're really? Okay, you can't make this shit up. But the chair of the event is Heidi Heitkamp?
The chair of the board.
The board. That's right. Oh, my God. So it's not only a Republican right-wing Christian nationalist nut job thing. It's Democrats, too.
Well, and the thing that people should really understand about the National Prayer Breakfast, especially, is that they will act on their beliefs as much as they can, up to and unless they lose enough Democrats to maintain the veneer of bipartisanship. And the reason for that is because making it appear bipartisan makes it look official.
Right.
And when you can make it look official, that opens all kinds of doors for your right-wing political network building. It means, for one thing, that your allies overseas can now go to their politicians, can now go to their offices and say, I need you to pay my way here because I've been invited by the president to the bipartisan official government congressional presidential national prayer breakfast. So that's a big part of it, being able to get those folks over. But it also means that they can draw in political and business leaders who are not part of their circle yet by saying, look, this is a government thing. You get access not just to this tiny ideological pocket of people, you get access to Congress writ large, right? I don't know if you saw my reporting a couple years ago about Guatemala, but they got some Democrats to go over to their new Guatemalan prayer breakfast. That helped their allies there reel in rich Guatemalans, some of whom were later suspected of forming a network that, using campaign finance violations, helped elect an evangelical anti-LGBTQ president named Jimmy Morales, who was basically seen as the Trump of Guatemala.
Well, of course he is.
There are all these kind of, and I've had diplomats who were operating in some of these countries tell me, you put together a lot of dots that shed a lot of light on things that I knew were going on. I just didn't know how they were going on. Mm-hmm. So it's not just this high-minded, sniffy academic concern about, well, you're violating my separation of church and state, which, by the way, I think is a very important thing. I'm just saying, some people say, well, it's purely a symbolic thing. Even if you accept or believe that it's purely a symbolic thing, there are very real policy consequences and political consequences. I'm sure you saw the Mike Lindell story that I did a couple years ago.
I didn't.
Did you never see this?
No, I did not.
You will love this.
Okay.
You will love this. I will send this to you after the show.
Okay.
So the reason I've been all over the prayer breakfast is because a few years ago, I actually came into possession of the guest lists for several years worth of breakfasts. And those guest lists included the names of people in the family's inner circle who were actually choosing who got to go. Wow. And so piecing together all of those people and tracing their public and not so public footprints, I was able to sort of chart how Mike Lindell, in the space of 2 years, went from non-religious, you know, sort of
pillow guy,
generically Christian, barely political, pillow TV pitchman to Mike Lindell, right? And so, and it was not an accident. There was a very specific series of encounters with people where he did a full, what they call like a full surrender, right? This guy ended up on his knees giving himself to Jesus.
Oh my God.
And there was a parallel political track. This is how we got Mike Lindell, because of the National Prayer Breakfast. And not only the insiders at the family, the group behind it, they were involved in this, but also so was the event itself. The event itself, what people, I think, especially on the left and certainly in the mainstream media, I think, underestimate is, if you believe, holy shit, like, that's a really big thing, to think that there really is an omnipotent, omniscient entity that controls everything, sacrificed his son to save all of our souls. Right. Like, this matters if you really believe it.
I guess.
Right? And so the National Prayer Breakfast reinforces that narrative and helps people accept it, because here's the United States government. There's the Senate chaplain giving a speech. There's the president giving a speech.
The president every year.
Right. There's Congress all over the place. Obviously, this must be a thing that everyone gets, except Mike Lindell. And it took 2 years and then he got it. And
wow.
And he's been that way ever since.
The fact that it's there, and going back a few years, I remember when I first read Jeff Charlotte's book, The Family.
Yeah.
And I'm reading and I realized Hillary Clinton is part of this. She's a full-fledged member of the family. I don't know if she still is, but she was. And then every president goes to this prayer breakfast, which I find just so distasteful. Again, I'm atheist Jew here, and I you know, and now the fact that there are Democrats participating, I could see, because religion, whatever, cuts across party lines. I don't understand organized religion. I don't see a need for it. I think it's the cause of all wars. But let's put that aside for a second. We have a separation of church and state in the Constitution. We have no national religion. But today's Republican Party says there is no such thing as separation of church and state. And yes, we are a Christian nation born on Christian principles. It's like, where are you getting this shit? They're making it up. And organizations like the Family and the National Prayer Breakfast Foundation are pushing that along. You have companies like Hobby Lobby who put their religious dogma on their employees and say, we won't pay for birth control in health insurance for our employees because we don't believe in it, because it goes against our religion, which is our national religion. No, it isn't. It gets more and more dangerous at a time like this with someone like Trump leading the Republican Party, who, by the way, has to be as big of an atheist as I am. I don't believe the man ever set foot in church. I don't believe he read the Bible. When he said 2 Corinthians, even me, this, you know, my whole religious training was from watching the movie The Ten Commandments on TV around Easter, literally.
I believe it.
I knew that he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Yeah. Yeah,
and yet they flock to him, and say God sent him. So if there's ever a time in our history that we need to step up and say no, separation of church and state, no state religion, no religion, you know, as a compulsion or a law, you can't do that. And yet it seems like they're going the other way.
So I will say, in defense of Democrats, I mean, look, we obviously had the big anti-communist religious explosion of the 1950s, right? Where all of a sudden Christianity got grafted symbolically onto a lot of our institutions, our money, or, you know, all these kinds of things. It got grafted on as part of some imagined bulwark against communism. And the family was part of that effort for sure. But I will say, in Democrats' defense, a couple things. One is that I do think that the Democrats who remain involved are sincere in their faith. And I do suspect, I do believe that they have genuine, authentic relationships in a faith sphere with people who are inside the family. Yep. Grace Nelson, the wife of Bill Nelson, the former senator and NASA administrator, for decades, has been active inside the family. I believe she used to sit on the board. She's on the new National Prayer Breakfast Foundation board. So it's very hard to imagine that someone like that is doing this for any other reason other than genuine faith and belief in what I would say is their mantra, which is that prayer is unifying. I see that over and over again in their blog posts, in their speeches. They say this over and over again. And yet the reality is, when you look at the results of their work, it is divisive. It is divisive. Right. But I think certainly Jeff Charlotte is the giant on whose shoulders I stand. And everyone, I think, got an awareness of, oh, there's the potential for misuse of this ritual, of these events. And I think My guess is that that was seen as like, oh, there's this weird case with Uganda with the Kill the Gays
yes.
bill.
And you write about that in today's newsletter, along with Guatemala. You know, just like right. this is a global thing now.
Right, right. And because of those lists that I got, those documents that I got, I've been able to sort of map out that they have networks around the world that are doing similar things, but that are sort of adjusted to work within, right? They're locally homegrown, but the folks who brought the seeds came from, C Street and the Cedars
right.
in Virginia, right? But they plant these seeds and they elevate their friends. And that's how they think of them, as their friends. And it turns out they're not strategic in who they make friends with. They're not strategic in building their networks. They just help the people they personally gravitate to, which, surprise, are not women fighting for abortion rights, are not LGBTQ people. It's not transgender men and women,
nope.
right? It's
nope.
people like them who think like them. And so they end up building like-minded networks that are pursuing very similar goals, even though there's no master document that says, you know, we're going to eliminate abortion within 5 years if we do X, Y, and Z. In a lot of ways, they're very unstrategic, but it doesn't matter because you don't have to be strategic in order to cause a lot of chaos and upheaval, which they've done certainly in Uganda,
yeah,
right, as you referenced, and in Guatemala, as I showed in the stories I did a couple years ago.
You bring back today. I urge yeah. everyone to go to thefuckingnews.substack.com and subscribe. You can start off, you know, with a free subscription, but hopefully you'll monetarily support it because you'll want to. You want to make sure it sticks around. But this is the kind of stuff you're doing. And I love that you inject a sense of humor. I think that it makes the news more accessible to people because they like to laugh. Look, I love the fucking news because that's how I react to it. It's like this fucking news. God damn it. When, you know, I have to turn it off because it is so upsetting. I cover the news every day, but I yeah. find myself tuning it out more and more because a myriad of reasons. But, you know, two of them are the news seems to be all bad. And the reporting is also all bad. And I just can't take it anymore. So I turn on music. And so I start the show each day, usually with a parody song or something like that, by somebody who's smart and creative. Right. Whatever it is. Well, that was Boca. But, you know, there's this guy, Don Karen, at the Parody Project. There's this other guy, Bruce W. Nelson, who uses the pseudonym Mangy Fetlocks, and he knocks out a song or two every day.
Wow.
That is, in fact, you know what? Maybe I'll bring one up to play for you to show. And there's no shortage of creative people out there who take the news and have fun with it, because I think you have, because the alternative, I think, is if you don't laugh, you're going to cry. So, and I'd rather laugh than cry. Let me see if I can find today's, I didn't pull today's Bruce W. Nelson at figures because I usually do, but today there was a plethora of these great song parodies. that I started off with one that was a takeoff on that, the God and God, you know, the Lincoln Project thing. That was an ad that a Trump fan created. It was based on this Paul Harvey ad.
I didn't see it, but I've heard about it.
That's horrible, right? So, okay, so here's one that Mangy Fetlocks did just a couple hours ago. I just need to make sure it's not going to play an ad first. No, it's not. Okay, so here, this is a taste of Mangy Fetlocks, friend of the show. And this is what he does.
Howdy, folks. Mangy Fetlocks here. The candidate's a con man. He's a liar and a cheat who dodged the draft by lying about some bone spurs on his feet, who said the white supremacists in riots were good folk and all across the world help make America a joke. I'm ashamed that in America we've a candidate so flawed, but the idiots will vote for him if he claims he's sent by God.
There you go.
They'll stand quite unironically and brainlessly to say, we want Trump as our dictator to save the USA. The candidate's a racist, a misogynist, and creep, a charlatan whose lack of knowledge nearly makes me weep. He's immature, immoral, he is crass and frankly lewd. If he gets into office once again, we all are screwed.
That's Mangy Fetlocks.
I gotta say two things. One is, that is so much harder than it looks.
Oh,
like,
yes.
People watch that and they think, oh, well, I can do that.
No.
That is so much harder than it looks to come up with that, to pull it off.
And he does one or two every day.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. Right. The other thing is, it's so amazing and great to see you lifting up so many folks in this space, just like gratuitously shining a light on the work of myself and other people, and it's really heartwarming, and obviously I appreciate it on a personal level so much, but it's great to see you extending that to other folks as well. And, you know, we're all going to have different approaches and takes to the news. And I think mine is fairly unique. I have a lot of problems with how the left approaches things as well, which I get at in the fucking news as well. Not because I think they're wrong on the issues, but I don't find them to be true all the time to their own values. Like, mm-hmm. one of the big values on the left, right, is to treat everyone like humans.
Yeah.
And it's really important. It's super important that you keep that in mind, especially when you're dealing with your political enemies. So, you know, it gets frustrating. And look, I've got sympathies for the right's complaints about the media.
As
someone in the media who's had my own reporting reported on and seen it, you know, screwed up. I mean, literally last year, I broke the news that this new prayer board foundation was now running the prayer breakfast. And as I reported at the time, the new board was entirely connected to the family.
Right.
So it was essentially a shell game.
Sure.
It was a three-card Monty thing. All of these major news outlets, major news outlets, they went with headlines that said Congress takes over prayer breakfast.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, and that's why I got the fucking news. God damn it.
Right.
Stop it. Right. Yeah. So, and it could pick your issue. You can find fault with whatever. And frankly, you know, look, as I don't want to get into it now, but I fall on a different place than many of my formerly progressive allies, or former allies who call themselves progressive, on the Israel-Gaza thing. Mm-hmm. I hate the killing, but my God, October 7th flipped a switch in my brain, and there are still hostages there that you don't hear about. You hear about the women who were horribly raped and abused, and they just don't seem to give a shit. And, you know, now we find out that the UNRWA, this UN agency, had people involved, and you're not hearing about it in the so-called liberal media. So I have problems, and a lot of my former allies are no longer friends of mine.
Well,
so,
I'm sorry to hear that. And I hope, obviously there's a lot of rift formation going on. And I think that, again, is part of the problem we're seeing on the left right now, is we've gotten to this space where everything is maximalist, right?
Yes.
And so if you disagree, well, you're obviously on the other side. You want them to win.
I can't talk to you anymore. Yeah.
Right. I can't. You obviously want Putin to win. You want Netanyahu to win.
You're a genocidal maniac.
Right.
You're in favor of genocide.
Either against Palestinians or Jews.
That's
right. Or maybe both.
That's right.
And so it's really hard to keep in mind, right, the idea of we have to entertain two thoughts simultaneously. We have to honor everyone's humanity simultaneously. That's really hard. And I think we also have a place in our culture where it's become hard to do that without looking like you're dishonoring whoever the victims might be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can say the death of George Floyd was a horrible thing and still have empathy for cops who have probably been socialized to be scared shitless every time they go out on the street, or trained poorly, or raised in a culture that taught them, you know, that Hollywood was real and home invasions happen every night. You know, there's all kinds of traps we can fall into by appearing to be sympathetic to this person or that person. Well, that means you must not care about the suffering of this person or that person.
Right.
You've got to figure out a way out of that. And that's the kind of thing I try to navigate in the newsletter, which isn't necessarily very popular these days, but my hope is that we can get there in a way that allows us to address and grapple with bad actions, but rejecting the notion that there are things such as bad people. Like in even in fiction writing, like no one ever says, well, what was his motive for doing that? Well, he's a bad guy.
The
like,
bad
that's
seed.
Bad writing.
Just the bad seed.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's not that that stops you from understanding why things happen.
Right.
And I think we've got to get back to a place where we are trying to rescue people who have succumbed to really shitty ideas.
Right. I think Donald Trump upended a lot of that because I don't know what created him. Something, and he is not normal. And the idolatry around him, the cult of Trump is not normal. And it's scary in that there are so many parallels to the 1930s that, and given the opportunity, he would become a dictator. You know, even if he says I'd only do it on day one, he would do it. So, and you know, we were talking about religion and the, you know, there is the religious right and the evangelicals and the dominionists. And I don't know the evangelicals, how they embrace Trump of all people. I just, this does not compute. It was sort of like a circuit overload kind of thing. And now, so what's his relationship with the family? I don't even know if he has one, but for whatever reason, they give this guy a pass. A con man, a sexual assaulter, just a cheat on every front, and yet this is their guy?
Mm-hmm. Well, look, I mean, I don't know whether this makes me arrogant, but I don't feel the sort of flummoxing that you seem to feel by this. Because I think their version of religion is actually a somewhat admirable one that says, I don't have to judge people. I don't have to judge their character, their soul. I can just say, I believe that he is a net positive for the direction of the country. So even though I personally find his actions and his words offensive and problematic, I think that, you know, there's something actually kind of mature about being able to separate those out. I get the charge of hypocrisy that this is exactly the cohort of the country that lost its mind over Bill Clinton and John Edwards and anyone else who ever had a sex thought, right?
Al Franken, who did nothing, is out of the Senate and sorry.
But I also think we're living at a cultural moment where everyone gets to think, and this I think is true on the left as well, everyone gets to think what feels good in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you've thought something else for a different president, you're not obliged to stick with that anymore. And I do see that on the left, right? We see people on the left, they're saying, well, if that's so bad, then how come this is okay? Advancing an argument that literally works just as well against them, but they don't see it.
Yep. I hear you. You know what? I've kept you on over. Sometimes we go into overtime. So the Progressive Voices Network left us at the top of the hour, but we keep going because we stream in a lot of other places too. So it happens all the time. I see the clock. It's like,
I hope that wasn't on me.
As a fellow radio veteran,
you want to hit that hard out.
Oh yeah.
I'm sorry.
And the affiliates who run the show, the audio version, Progressive Voices, you know, is John Sinton. This is his thing, right? He's the head guy. We have, you know, Stephanie Miller, followed by Tom Hartman, followed by Randy, followed by me, followed by Leslie Marshall. You know, it's the remnants of old air America. But you know, it's internet, and I also stream video and stream to other places. So, and I do the podcast. So Progressive Voices listeners know that I'll likely be cut off in mid-word and that they can come over to the website and get the podcast. They're cool. I'm not behind a paywall either. So people, I hope, choose to support the program. But, you know, I'm old school. So radio, TV is free. Usually you pay for it with ads. I don't run ads. So, you know, if it's like public radio. If you can afford it, chip in. Yep. The same thing with thefuckingnews.substack.com. It is there now. Jonathan Larson is churning out these newsletters every morning, some days too, like today. The prayer breakfast is this Thursday. Where is it being held?
Well, I don't know. Technically, last year it was in the U.S. Capitol Visitors Center, it's not part of like the famous Capitol building that we all know. It's a little bit downhill. It's a lot more modern, but there's been no public announcement. And to be honest, I haven't like tried to track down those kinds of details because there's a bunch of other things that I'm trying to get out, new reporting that I'm trying to get out before Thursday's event. So I hope folks who are interested in what I'm going to be revealing will come subscribe, and then you'll get the stories in your inbox. And hopefully, like you say, like it's so important to keep it free. As a journalist, it kills me to see anything that is behind a paywall, which is why I'm so annoying about asking people to pay, because that means that I can afford to not do that, because it offends me as a journalist, the idea that people can't see this.
I hear
you. What's the point?
I know. Yeah. It's
so
the conundrum.
I love that you're free as well.
The conundrum we face. You know, Marcy Wheeler as well, who does this show every Friday, emptywheel.net, one of the most, I think, important news sites out there. She works the same way. And I really appreciate that as someone who, scrapes the pennies together at the end of the month to get by. Of course. Appreciate that. If you can afford it, please support the work we're doing. That's all. Jonathan Larson, it's so great to reconnect with you. I hope we can make a regular thing out of this. I would love to have you on and you know, we'll talk. And thank you, thefuckingnews.substack.com. and I love that I can say that here too, because I don't have the FCC breathing down my neck. KPFK.
The FCC.
Yes. Fuck the FCC. Jonathan Larson, you're also on the shitter at JT Larson and wherever else. We'll talk again very soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Nicole.
Bye-bye. Bye. That was so cool. Again, as I said before, I'm a fan. thefuckingnews.substack.com. Subscribe. And you know, hopefully you'll pay. All right, with that, we're done. I'm not sure what we're doing tomorrow yet. Maybe Brian Karam will come back. I need to reach out to him, because after we didn't connect last week, I don't know. And then I have an old boss, an old radio station general manager from Los Angeles who I have not spoken to in over 30 years. And he was the GM at KNX FM, which became KODJ. And I quit there to go produce the Mark and Brian show in 1990. And he took out a billboard on Sunset Boulevard for me. I kid you not. Well, he's got 3 books out and they're pretty somewhat irreverent, which I like. So he'll be joining us one of these days. So a busy stuff to come. Thank you for listening. You know what to do. Who put the F in the FCC? I don't know. Rick Smith, you'll have to tell us another day, because we're like way late. So thanks, everyone. I'll see you tomorrow. Take care. Peace out.